Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, July 9th, 2026. We'll start with an article on the front page headlined, Health, Decatur, Summer Blood Donations Fall Amid Constant Demand, by Danette Beckett, Decatur. Decatur resident Denise Sarna, 63, looks forward to relaxing in a lounge chair, even with a needle stuck in her arm. It's 2 hours of listening to my book, she said Friday, while donating platelets at Decatur's Impact Life Donor Center. It's my time. Sarna doesn't donate blood just to relax, since most donations take an average of 10 minutes. The retired nurse understands the need for blood donations of all types. Impact Life, located at 151 West Main Street in Decatur, is ready for her and other donors with schedules available on Wednesdays and Fridays. Blood drives are also scheduled at various locations across the area. Information and registration times are available on the organization's website. For the past several years, Sarna, however, has donated platelets, a more specific type of donation that requires more of her time on a specialized machine. But giving the gift of life is only part of the draw for Sarna. I really like their swag, she said. The American Red Cross is also encouraging anyone who is eligible to donate. Donors can visit redcrossblood.org to make an appointment at the Blood Donation Center, 2674 North Main Street, in Decatur. Right now, donors of all blood types are needed, said Mara Thompson, Regional Communications Manager with the American Red Cross of Illinois. According to blood donation centers, the need for donated blood doesn't slow down during the summer. But our number of blood drives drastically decreases during the summer months, said Courtney Glines, Donor Services Supervisor with Impact Life. Summer schedules are also busy with vacations, family activities, and other seasonal plans. Blood donations often decline at a time when the need from hospitals remains constant, Thompson said. Over the last several weeks, we've seen a significant decrease in blood donation appointments, which typically account for collecting 90% of the Red Cross blood supply. Blood drives are often hosted at schools, including colleges, high schools, and elementary schools. That's a big part of our calendar of blood drives during the school year, said Kirby Wynn, Public Relations Manager with Impact Life. That goes away during June, July, and August. Those donors have to be found somewhere else. Holiday weeks provide more of a challenge, Wynn said. The businesses and the service clubs, the groups that host a blood drive, they don't usually pick July 2nd or 3rd for a blood drive, he said. But blood centers keep their hours the same, even during the holidays, because we really can't afford it, Wynn said. The use of blood stays the same. It doesn't stop for the holiday. Summer can also bring severe weather that forces blood drive cancellations. Thompson pointed out, making it even more challenging to maintain a stable blood supply, because blood products have a limited shelf life. Consistent donations are needed every day to ensure patients have access to life-saving transfusions when they need them. Blood components are used for different reasons, depending on the medical needs, Wynn said. The primary, or the most volume, is the red blood cells, he said. It all varies, and we have to keep it all in balance. Sarna began donating platelets after years of donating whole blood, which began to make her feel ill. Now I don't feel bad afterwards, she said. Platelets are often reserved for cancer patients and burn patients receive plasma. Also, antibody therapy comes from plasma, Glines said. Plasma is where all your antibodies are. All donations are honorable, Sarna said. As a retired nurse, she understands the importance of blood donations, including platelets and plasma. I've seen the difference it makes in my patients, she said. Some of them have illnesses, some have cancer, some of them diseases. The need for blood stays the same throughout the year. In summer, there's a little bit more trauma, Wynne said, but there's no months of the year when there's not any car accidents or accidents at home or patients needing to get a blood transfusion due to an injury. One of the common reasons for blood transfusions is cancer treatments, which includes the side effects of chemotherapy and radiation. There's no time of year where that goes up or down, Wynne said. A variety of blood types are also important for the blood donor centers. Type O positive blood is available to all positive blood types. Type O negative can be given to all blood types. That doesn't diminish from all blood types, Glein said. The hospital is going to try and type match you whenever possible. Type A positive is a common blood type, according to the blood donor centers. They use a lot of it because a lot of people have it, Glines said. Blood drives impact life. For more information or to schedule a blood donation with Impact Life, visit bloodcenter.org or call 1-800-747-5401. Future blood drives, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. July 22nd, HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, 1800 East Lakeshore Drive, Assisi Room, Decatur. Noon to 3:30 p.m. July 23rd, Cancer Care Specialists of Illinois, 210 West McKinley Avenue, Suite 1, Donor Bus, Decatur. American Red Cross. For more information on how to donate through the American Red Cross, visit redcrossblood.org. Future blood drives, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., July 10th, Maroa City Hall, 120 South Locust Street. Noon to 5:30 p.m., July 21st, Our Lady of Holy Spirit, 400 North Whitetail Circle, Mount Zion. Education. Back to School Bargain Hunt Begins Early by Juveria Tabassum, Reuters. American families are diving into back to school deals earlier than ever this year, snapping up discounts on backpacks, electronics, and other school essentials, even as higher food prices and gas prices leave many feeling stretched. Amazon.com, Walmart, Target, and Best Buy have all rolled out back-to-school promotions earlier than usual, turning what was once a late summer shopping period into a broader summer sales season. Amazon Prime Day-style events have become an unofficial kickoff to back-to-school shopping, with retailers competing aggressively for budget-conscious consumers. But the bargain hunting also highlights growing anxiety among households facing higher everyday costs and pricier school supplies. Parents are increasingly seeking discounts on basics while budgeting for trend-driven products, from customizable pencil cases, erasers, and bento lunch boxes to Jan Sport and North Face Borealis backpacks, Stanley and Owala water bottles, and dorm accessories popular on TikTok and Instagram. With the kind of higher gas prices and higher food prices, I am definitely more aware of how I am going to spend my money heading toward back to school. I tend to be a consumer who chooses wisely versus just shops for a lot of things, said Julie Kelly, founder of a media consulting company in Vermont with an 11-year-old son. Families are expected to spend about $922 on average on back-to-school shopping this year, according to PwC, roughly 47% more than in 2025, though part of that increase reflects higher prices linked to the Iran war. The back-to-school shopping season accounts for about 2.3% of total annual U.S. retail sales, with about $128.2 billion spent in 2025, according to the National Retail Federation. Children's preferences, too, are playing a larger role in purchasing decisions, according to Kelly Pedersen, PwC's global retail leader. About 61% of households plan to let their children add products directly to online shopping carts after discovering them on social media, Pedersen said. Target said its sales event in June offered customers a chance to buy trending back-to-school products early. Amazon said it had deals in its back-to-school and college categories, but declined to offer further insights. Shoppers were also buying pricier electronics and apparel, where discounts were the strongest during Prime Day promotions in late June, according to Adobe Analytics. These categories have struggled with uneven demand as household budgets shrank. The shift toward digital shopping continues, and Amazon and Walmart remain at the center of that trend. PwC expects the share of consumers planning in-store and back-to-school purchases to fall to about 70% this year from 79% last year. Together, the two retailers accounted for about 71 cents of every new dollar spent online in 2025, according to Morgan Stanley, as both companies expanded delivery options and product assortments to win shoppers. Walmart's four-day deals event last month included small appliances meant for students living in dorms, as well as bulk classroom supplies for teachers, the company said. It will also stock back-to-school supplies closer to the start of school, from mid-August to early September. That's the time then for retailers to make a value play on the less trendy items, said Jeffrey Degner, a research fellow at the American Institute for Economic Research. We're going to see a lower margin time frame when it comes to August and September. Public Safety, Police, Two Found Dead in Olney by Tony Reed. Olney. Illinois State Police said a suspect is in custody after two people were found deceased in two different residences on the same street in Olney. According to a news release, the remains of John D. Jones Jr., 52, and 73-year-old Deborah J. Jones were found by police officers just after 3 p.m. Tuesday at two homes in the 400 block of East Monroe Street. One person is in custody, and there is no risk to the public, state police said. Police did not say whether the victims were related or how they were killed. This is an ongoing investigation, and no additional information is available at this time, police said Wednesday. Olney Police Department and the Richland County Sheriff's Office initially opened the homicide investigations before a decision was made to request assistance from Illinois State Police. The Richland County town of Olney has drawn national and even international attention for its population of albino eastern gray squirrels, whose image appears on the city logo and the badges of the Olney Police Department. Man faces assault, gun charges, by Tony Reed, Decatur. The case involving a victim who reportedly put his mouth around the barrel of a loaded firearm being pointed at him and said, "Pull the trigger," has resulted in charges for the alleged gunman, police report. Defendant Douglas J. Griffin, 40, was arraigned Monday in Macon County Circuit Court on charges of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and aggravated unlawful use of a firearm, in this case, a Rock Island brand M1911 45 caliber handgun. A sworn affidavit filed by the Decatur Police Department said trouble flared around 10 a.m. July 2nd, while the 27-year-old man was engaged in a loud argument with his girlfriend in the 300 block of West Sawyer Avenue. The man described suddenly being approached by his neighbor, Griffin, who got involved in the dispute before pulling a handgun out of his waistband and pointing it at the man's face. That's when the man told police he made his surprising move. He said he placed his mouth around the barrel of the firearm and stated, "Pull the trigger," said Officer Francisco Cordova, one of the officers involved in the investigation. He advised when his mouth was around the barrel of the firearm, it felt consistent to metal and was heavy. He believed the gun to be real. He reasonably believed he was going to be shot by Douglas due to the close proximity of the firearm being pointed at his face, and the fact he believed the firearm was real. Griffin was described as extracting his weapon from the man's mouth and heading back to his home after the confrontation. Officers questioned Griffin at his home, and Griffin is quoted as saying there had been a loud argument going on outside his home, but he denied intervening with a loaded gun. Cordova said he later told police he had possessed and pointed a BB gun at the victim, and he showed officers a BB gun said to have been the one used. However, another witness showed police a bag that had been brought over to her home in the 1800 block of North Edward Street after the confrontation on Sawyer Street. One of the weapons that had been inside the bag was the .45 caliber handgun. The victim, who appeared to know something about firearms, had earlier told police the gun pointed at him looked like a 1911 model, according to the affidavit. He would later positively identify the M1911 as the firearm that was pointed at him during the interaction with Douglas, Cordova said. The man does not state in the police report why he had closed his mouth around the barrel of the weapon and asked Griffin to pull the trigger. Police noted the weapon had a full magazine and a live bullet in the chamber. Judge Jack Kiley granted Griffin pretrial release over prosecution objections, with the condition he has no contact with the man named as a victim in this case, and refrains from possessing a firearm or other dangerous weapon. The defendant is due back in court for a preliminary hearing August 19th, when he will enter pleas to the charges against him. Central Illinois. Ammons charged with fraud. Grand jury indicts state representative, Champaign County Clerk. By Olivia Olander, Chicago Tribune. A federal grand jury indicted Democratic State Representative Carol Ammons of Urbana on Tuesday on wire fraud and other charges. Her husband, Champaign County Clerk and Recorder Aaron Ammons, is charged in the same indictment with conspiracy to obstruct justice and a separate count of obstruction of justice. Carol Ammons, first elected in 2014, devised a scheme to defraud the state starting around 2017, according to an indictment handed up by a grand jury in the U.S. District Court for Central Illinois. Federal authorities allege Carol Ammons falsified state campaign finance records to disguise payments to herself and her daughter, directed state and federal funds to organizations that used public dollars to pay her daughter, and overpaid individuals out of campaign funds, then required the individuals to provide cash kickbacks to her, according to the 12-page indictment. Ammons then lied to an FBI agent investigating the alleged misuse of grant money and conspired with her husband to conceal the alleged misuse of campaign and public funds, according to the indictment. Carol Ammons' scheme was intended to enrich herself by converting contributions and donations to her campaign to her personal use, the indictment alleges. Ammons and her daughter received financial benefits in excess of $100,000, the indictment alleges. In addition to multiple counts of wire fraud, Carol Ammons is also charged with making a false statement and conspiracy to obstruct justice. Carol Ammons did not immediately respond Wednesday to a request for comment. Aaron Ammons was not available at the Champaign County Clerk and Recorder's office, and a phone number and email address listed on his campaign website appeared to be disconnected. Murder defendant's bid for plea deal denied. By Tony Reed. Decatur. An accused killer's bid to escape a murder charge died Tuesday in Macon County Circuit Court. Michael I. Wallace had filed a legal motion pleading for a judge to enforce a plea deal, which he said prosecutors had reneged on in the case of the August 4th, 2011 Decatur murder of 17-year-old Caleb Whitty. Presiding Judge Thomas Griffith denied Wallace's motion, and the 36-year-old defendant is left facing trial by jury on four alternate counts of murder. Wallace had said the deal involved dropping the murder charge if he instead pleaded guilty to armed robbery for a 26-year sentence. In return, he would testify against co-defendant Bobby L. Gibson, 36. Wallace said Gibson was the shooter who gunned Whitty down as the teen stepped forward to shield his 14-year-old sister from harm during an attempted robbery. Defense attorney Susan Moorhead argued the offer from Macon County State's Attorney Diane Corey had been firm enough that she had effectively stopped trial preparations back in February, compromising her client's right to a speedy and fair trial. Wallace and Gibson were arrested in June of 2024 after Decatur Police Department detectives said they had finally cracked one of the city's most infamous cold cases. I think in their response, the state is arguing we had no agreement. We had a generalized conversation. I would submit that is not true, Moorhead told Griffith. We had an agreement. But in the end, it was Gibson who got the plea deal, and sweeter than the one prosecutors had talked about with Wallace. Gibson is now set to plead to an unspecified lesser crime in return for a sentence of 8 years, with day-for-day credit, and his testimony against Wallace in his murder trial. Assistant Macon County State's Attorney Kevin Sanborn said discussions about a possible plea agreement with Wallace were just that, discussions. But he said things fell apart because one of the conditions was the defendant provide truthful testimony. Sanborn said, in the final analysis, prosecutors just didn't buy his version of events. We can't be made to suborn perjury, he said, arguing that compelling prosecutors to uphold a plea agreement they don't believe in flies in the face of justice. It sours the entire process of plea agreements, he added. Announcing his decision, Griffith said he had reviewed emails between the defense and prosecution and other written evidence and case law. In my opinion, there was no plea agreement, he said. There were plea discussions. Discussions were contingent on the defendant making a truthful statement or truthful proffer, and in the state's opinion, that did not ever occur. Wallace, who remains in the custody of the Macon County Jail along with Gibson, is due back in court for a pretrial hearing September 24th. His murder trial is now tentatively scheduled for October 19th. CASA classes to train new child advocates. By Danette Beckett, Decatur. Heartland Court appointed special advocates and Kemmerer Village will co-host two summer and fall training classes at the Assumption campus and at the Decatur location. The CASA classes will provide volunteers with training to become court advocates for children who have experienced abuse or neglect and are involved in the foster care system. The CASA volunteers gather information, build relationships with the child and those involved in the child's life, and provide informed recommendations to the court to help ensure every child's voice is heard, the agency stated. They become a consistent, trusted adult who shows up, listens, and speaks up for a child during one of the most challenging times in that child's life. Training begins July 27th. For more information or to register for an upcoming training class, contact Heartland CASA at 217-428-8424 or visit iheartcasa.org. The trainings are scheduled for 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Mondays, July 27th through August 31st at Kemmerer Village, 941 North 2500 East Road in Assumption. 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Tuesdays, July 28th through September 1st at Heartland CASA Office, 141 South Main Street, Suite 722 in Decatur. 4 through 7 p.m. Wednesdays, July 29th through September 2nd at Kemmerer Village. 5:30 to 8:39 p.m. Thursday, September 10th through October 15th at Heartland CASA office. Digest. Trump will ask court to rehear birthright case. Washington. President Donald Trump said Wednesday that he will ask the U.S. Supreme Court to rehear a case challenging his executive order curtailing birthright citizenship, a long-shot bid to reverse the court's rejection of one of his signature policies. The court last month rejected Trump's attempt to restrict birthright citizenship in the U.S., ruling that his directive violated language in the U.S. Constitution's 14th Amendment that confers citizenship to those born in the United States who are subject to the jurisdiction thereof. The U.S. Supreme Court rarely grants requests to rehear cases and has not done so after issuing a ruling in an argued case in decades. Israel kills at least 9 Palestinians in Gaza. Israel launched airstrikes and gunfire that killed at least 9 Palestinians, including 2 children ages 10 and 6, Wednesday, in the Gaza Strip, health officials there said. Medics said an Israeli airstrike killed 1 person near a school in Gaza City. 12 people were wounded in the 2 incidents. The Israeli military said it struck militants in Gaza City, but was unaware of casualties. Another Israeli airstrike hit a tent for displaced people in the Mawasi area in Khan Yunis, in the south of the enclave, killing at least 4 people, including a 10-year-old child. Later Wednesday, Palestinian health officials said Israel shot a 6-year-old boy to death in Gaza City. Briefly, Elon Musk. U.S. District Judge Sparkle Suknanan in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday approved the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission's settlement with Elon Musk over his purchase of Twitter shares, despite expressing significant misgivings about the red flags the accord raised. Ukraine war. Russia fired ballistic missiles at Kiev overnight and sent jet-powered drones over the city throughout Wednesday, killing at least 3 people, officials said, as Moscow exploits Ukraine's critical shortage of U.S.-made interceptors. Maine. Democratic Senate candidate Graham Platner of Maine suspended his campaign Wednesday following a string of controversies, including an accusation of sexual assault, that plunged one of the most competitive races in the 2026 midterm elections into turmoil. Kennedy Center. A U.S. appeals court ruled Wednesday that President Donald Trump's name must remain off of the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts while he challenges a judge's order that required its removal. Well, we'll take a break now and return with the second half of the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, July 9th, 2026. Please stay tuned.